Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F-Jams. One and two, just in case.
We danced to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Are you listening?
Hey everybody, welcome to the Are You Listening podcast, where two friends sit down and talk about music for a little while. My name is Scott. I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Brand. Brand, how are you today?
I'm good. We're doing it, Scott. We're here. Yeah. It's been a long time talked about. They're even on the list that we're going to do hip hop drafts, but this is our first.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy to think that this is the first hip hop draft that we've done.
I think there's part of it where we're both. Well, also we about the same as our normal. I mean, there's more. I think there's more crossover in our like guitar driven music in common than we do hip hop. Like our hip hop is kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum,
right?
At least what we love, like we've experienced a lot of the same, but what we love is kind of separate.
Yeah. Which makes this like, we'll talk about it, but it makes this artist like he kind of combines the two worlds that we both love. Yeah. And it's wild.
It is very wild, but it's also, I think there's a bit of it. Both of us, I think we're a little uncomfortable and unsure of our ability to speak on.
Yeah. We definitely were that.
Yeah. I think though, especially with this is a great artist to do it on because we have both been on board for this guy since we first heard of him and every project, like not missing one, just like, hey, new one coming out. Let's go.
Which is crazy because, you know, each year there's like four, three.
Yeah. He's very prolific even after, and we'll talk about it at some point, I'm sure, after getting into a horrendous car accident, still putting it out.
Yeah. It's incredible. Of course, we are talking about hip hop artist, Detroit native, Boldy James. We've been big fans at least since 2020.
Yes. When he had his, incredible run. There was an incredible run.
Yeah. Insane. Four projects coming out in that 1 year.
Nobody had a better 2020 than Boldy. And I may venture to say nobody had a first half of the decade run so far like Boldy.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's 2024 now. We're not even halfway through the 2020s and he's put out 12 projects.
Might be 11 because 11 of the studio records, one of them was prior to 2020.
Oh yeah, that's right. So yeah, just absolutely insane.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. On top of like a million features on other artists' projects. Yeah.
Yeah. and signing to Griselda was huge. He signed at almost the height of Griselda, it felt like they were super hot. And then Boldy became kind of the feature artist because Conway and Benny both went to do their own shit.
Yeah, the Griselda thing is kind of weird how it's gone, in my opinion.
It almost feels like, I don't even know, like he signed to Griselda as just like a name to put on his jersey, almost. Like he signed to the team, but he can still go play wherever he wants. It's really
He's a free agent. He's a free agent everywhere. Yeah. He's only put out one Griselda project, right?
I think so. I think Versace Tape's the only Griselda project.
I think that's the only one that he's done.
Yeah. But he shows up on Griselda projects and he's technically signed to Griselda. If nothing else, to me, it sounds like West Side Gunn just saw it and was like, wow, I respect this dude. Let's pay him. And then
let's give him some money.
It's like, Boldy, I don't really have to do anything for you. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for another Griselda Boldy project. I'm excited about it at some point, but I don't know what's happening.
Yeah. No idea. I haven't even heard any hints about it either. He's got other shit coming out, like I'm waiting on that J Dilla project that he has in the tuck.
Yes, he's at it for a while, he said, too.
But I have some notes about Boldy James before we jump into the draft. So let's get into it. James Clay Jones III, born August 9th, 1982, better known by his stage name Boldy James, is an American rapper from Detroit, Michigan, and is currently a member of the Griselda Rap Collective.
Maybe that's it, though. Maybe he's more signed to the collective than their record
label
company. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just a part of the group.
Yeah. And I'm fine with that. Like, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Me too. In 2009, Boldy James' first big break on the national scene came in the form of two features on The Cool Kids and Don Cannon's mixtape, Merry Christmas, on the songs Barbecue Wings and Tires. That was followed up by his record Getting Flicked, appearing on the Cool Kids 2010 mixtape Tackle Box. Also in 2010, he was featured on the Chip the Ripper song Fat Raps remix alongside Big Sean, Asher Roth, Dom Kennedy, and Chuck English.
Asher Roth's a weird name to be thrown in.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
He loves college, Scott. He loves college.
He does love college. That's the only thing I know by that guy.
The Cool Kids, we talked about this briefly about Boldy at some point on the show. I don't know. I couldn't pinpoint what episode. But one of the members of Cool Kids is his cousin, I believe.
Yep, that's the next note I have.
Okay, go ahead.
Boldy James and Cool Kid member producer Chuck English are cousins. On May 24th, 2011, Boldy James released his solo debut mixtape, Trapper's Alley Pros and Cons. The project went on to be named by Pitchfork as one of 2011's most overlooked projects. On February 27th, 2012, he released his follow-up mixtape, Consignment. On March 5th, 2013, he released an EP titled Grand Quarters. On October 15th, 2013, he released his debut album, My First Chemistry Set, entirely produced by The Alchemist. On May 22nd, 2014, it was announced that Boldy James, Bishop Nehru, and Fashion were the first signees to Nas's Mass Appeal Records.
Yeah, I knew that as well.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But it's also interesting to hear, you know, entirely produced by The Alchemist for his debut studio album. Like,
that's
Alchemist,
so wild.
Alchemist heard it and was just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is the guy I need to work with.
I can work with this. And we talk a lot about how Alchemist has kind of altered the way people rap. I think Boldy may have altered the way Alchemist produces a bit.
I kind of feel the same way.
Especially, and we'll talk about it at some point when we listen to that debut record, the production's a little different than what we hear now from Alchemist. Granted, it's
For sure
20 or 10 years ago or something like that. But
10. But yeah, it is crazy how at a certain point at one record, really, Alchemist's style kind of switched up for everybody that he started producing for.
I think there might have been a point, and this isn't an Alchemist draft, although put that in because
we've thought about it. We've thought about it.
that's another interesting draft we could do. But
yeah,
I think that Alchemist just finally got enough I don't want to say confidence, but at least enough notoriety where he could just send a beat and people were going to use it. It wasn't, hey, send me a beat and I'll see if I like it. So then he started doing more of what he wanted to do and what he loved. And man, is the world better for it.
Oh, for sure. On January 9th, 2023, Boldy was involved in a car accident in Detroit, leaving him with a broken vertebrae requiring intense surgery. After a two-week hospital stay, he was released in a wheelchair and a neck brace and got back in the studio 5 days later.
Yeah, immediately back in the studio.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? I almost died. Let me go rap about it.
Yeah, if there's anything you could say about Boldy, it's that he will grind all the time.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He will not stop. He will not stop.
That's all the notes I have for him. I'm sure we'll cover a lot more album to album. Mm-hmm. But let's get into this draft. We did rock, paper, scissors before the show. And after a winning streak, it's been broken. You pulled up with scissors. I threw paper. I'm bummed about it.
If we're drafting Boldy, I had to bring the cutter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if we're drafting Boldy, I gotta bring a cutter with me. So I threw the cutter.
Fuck that.
And I am interested to know, though, if, because you said at the end of the last episode, I believe, that there are two definitive number ones. But if you had the first pick, I'm interested to know if the one I'm about to take is the one you would have taken.
I will let you know after you tell me.
I will.
Brand, what's your first pick?
First pick in the Boldy James discography draft. And I will say there were two definitive number ones in my head when I started this as well. And then one of them, I'm not going to say it let me down, but there were just other projects that I ended up enjoying more. But there was one that stood head and shoulders above, I mean, everything. Not even just this discography, but like most music that I maybe have ever heard.
Oh, wow.
And okay. I got to take Manger on McNichols.
God damn it. Yep. That was one of the two. Yeah.
I not only think that it's Boldy's best project, I think that it is one of the greatest artistic and musical achievements of the past decade. It's unbelievable how good this thing is.
Yeah, I absolutely love it.
The opener Medusa sets the tone so magically, and then it has the underbelly of the boom bap with like the top side of it being the soaring string arrangement and then like some operatic vocal performances. It's clear that this record is a much different animal. Like, this isn't a hip hop record.
Yeah, no, it is an artistic movement.
Don't get me wrong, it's very much a hip-hop record. Like, Boldy is rapping, and
it's just so much more beyond that.
Every time I revisit this, though, it clicks more. Is that what jazz is supposed to do? Because
I think so.
I remember the first, like, five times I listened to this, I was just like, I don't think I understand this. I don't think I'm smart enough for this. And now I'm hearing it as a full record, like, all together, meshing and melding and... It's so good.
It's so good.
I don't know if I can even appreciate how good Sterling Tolles is, but I know how good Boldy is on this. Like, Sterling Tolles is the jazz composer who is the other half of this. My bad for not saying that up front. But every time I listen to this, it's much more palatable, and it doesn't feel as avant-garde as it did the first 5-10 times I heard this. Every time I hear it, it feels more down-to-earth, and maybe it's because I'm used to it, maybe because that's what I'm expecting now. But I'm so into it. It also, maybe it's also because I've listened to some more avant-garde hip hop, like your Conductor Williams is, and some of the West Side Gun shit that he did. Like, that shit's pretty avant-garde, where there's almost no beat. Like, sometimes. So at least there's something here. Detroit River Rock is crazy good. That's an insane track on this.
Yeah.
This whole album is something else. Every time I listen, I find another layer, and it makes me want to get into jazz. But every time I take that step, I'm like, oh, there's no Boldy here.
Yeah.
So I kind of turn around a little bit, but it's an incredible, incredible project. And like I said, I think one of the best artistic and musical achievements of the past decade. And I will stand on that.
It also took a decade to make.
True.
Yeah. Let's not forget about that. This thing... Yeah. Like, Boldy had I believe it when Boldy had the lines written, the raps done, recorded. Then Sterling Tolles took those and based the music around his lines. And it's just such a crazy project. It's absolutely amazing. And then I remember you and I both pre-ordered the vinyl. We waited. I think I might have waited for you to get your copy. And then we listened to it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were texting each other like, I can't believe this. This is absolutely wild. What a crazy project. I think it's a 10.
And since then, I feel like it's only matured also. Like when I listen to this now, because then I think it was so surprising because it was so different. Now I know I'm getting a Boldy with a jazz musician. And then once I get that, I'm in. Like I'm swimming in this thing. I love this record. Maybe the crown jewel, I believe, of my vinyl collection. Like the fact that I own this is insane to me.
And we
got it like you said, the pre-order, and then what, a month, 2 months later, it was insane prices to get it.
Oh yeah, like, I haven't checked Discogs lately, but it was nuts.
Like Fantano talked about it, and then all the hype beasts are out there trying to snag.
Oh, see, that's what happens. That's what happens. Fantano gets his hands on it.
If I got nothing else in this draft other than this record, I would be fine because this record is insanely good.
It was definitely one of my top two. Yep.
But if you had the first pick, would it have been your one? Like, would you have definitively went after it?
No, I have another one. That's my number one.
I think I could have given you the first one then because this is my number one all day.
Yeah. No, it's but super.
You essentially get your same number one though. So
it's true. To me, they're both 10 records. Like Boldy is just an amazing artist. And my pick, I think, is also a 10 record, but Main Drum McNichols, it's unbelievable. I love Welcome to 76. I think that's an amazing track. Mommy Dearest is wild and out there. And then I absolutely love the closer, Got Flicked. I think it's amazing. And that journey we go on musically at the end of that track is just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And I don't know who, like, I can't see jazz fans going, like, to listen to a bunch of Boldy, and I also can't see Boldy fans going after a bunch of jazz, which is why I think it is also one of the greatest artistic achievements, because they both just wanted to do it, and even kind of knowing this isn't really going to help either of our fan bases much.
Right.
And that is astonishing. That is astonishing.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
All right, then, Scott. I took my first pick. Right. So you got your number one. I think I know what it is. But
I bet you do.
For your first pick in the Boldy James draft, Scott, what do you got?
I'm taking The Price of Tea in China. It's the first Boldy project that I think we both listened to, completely produced by The Alchemist. It's just amazing. It's fantastic. This is the one where we both kind of think Alchemist changed up his style forever now. The instrumentals are so open and airy and flowing, and the combination of the airy, flowing, jazzy kind of backpack rapper beats and instrumentals melds so well and unexpectedly with Boldy's just dark and gritty street rap. It brings our two worlds together.
The fact that there, I love the gritty stuff, and I've always wanted the dirty, greasy, gritty, just hardcore rap essentially. I think Conway does the same thing where he does that shit, but he's also a lyricist while he's doing it. Because Boldy is a straight lyricist, and Boldy can also pull the thing off that is rare, where he can say a line that if any other rapper would say it, it would sound so corny. It would sound so corny. I have some examples in other records, but.
Oh, good. Okay. It's his just, like, I don't want to say deadpan delivery, but it's his just his loose and laid back style that you take that grittiness and it's kind of like you said, the sometimes corny lines that he delivers, that's just, it's cool.
he's just laid back at all times.
Yeah, all the time.
Speaking of the record itself, Carruth is an amazing tone setter again. It's something that Boldy does well, but I think any Boldy record would have a good tone setter because Boldy himself sets the tone. So like
he's a master of it.
You're kind of locked in immediately.
Yeah.
Alchemist is in his Alchemist bag here without a doubt.
Oh, for sure.
A Vince Staples feature always sits right for me. I'll take a Vince Staples feature anyway.
That Vince feature is amazing. I absolutely love it when he comes in and he's, and I shot maybe about three. I lose it every time I hear that. It's so good.
I think that is a bit of what pushes this record high also, is because on a lot of Boldy projects, you either don't have a lot of features, sometimes none
sometimes, yeah.
Or they're features by, I assume, people he's putting on or his friends or something, because or maybe the producer's friends, because there's full projects by Boldy that have three or four features, and I don't know one of them.
Idea who they are.
we'll talk about that, but
yeah.
Boldy and Benny going back and forth on
Scrape the Bull.
I could take a whole album of that. You could give me a whole album of those two going back and forth. Now, granted, at some point, it's going to be a whole song about the vaccines and coronavirus, but whatever. I can get over it for that record. This album is so much more theatrical than most, even after this Boldy Records. Like, there's a theatrical theme that's woven in between all the tracks. And I also love how it happens at the end of the track. So you don't have to wait for it at the beginning of a track. Like, if you just wanted to dive in and listen to a few tracks, you don't have to sit there and, all right, what's the skit today?
Right.
So like, but when you are a full album person, you're sitting there and you're getting that. And it's like, oh yeah,
you get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Snort with Freddie Gibbs is one of the greatest examples of rappers rapping in modern history. Mm-hmm. They are both rapping their ass off.
Yeah,
it's such a laid back, and the word I honed in on here, it's such a meticulous album because there's all that, empty space of Alchemist's production.
Oh yeah.
Every little beat, every note, every sample counts. So went in there. It's like, this is a ring and he went in there as a jeweler with one of those little eyepieces to stare at diamonds. And he's just assembling it with a pair of tweezers. Phone Bill is a great closer.
Oh my God. So good.
But then we have the deluxe version, and I don't know how these tracks didn't make the actual record. Maybe because it messes with a little bit of the energy, because there are some that have a little more of an energy boost, but the deluxe version, all those tracks are flawless also. The studio sessions that birthed this are insane. Let's just put it that
way. Yeah, I can't imagine what those sessions must have been like. Yeah, I love this record. Slow Roll is a fantastic song. It gets stuck in my head all the damn time. You said it. Phone Bill is a fantastic closer. Giant Slide is amazing. I love that song. Oh, I love Run-Ins. How he has the word run in like every line, but never does that repetitive thing to me where it gets on my nerves, because he doesn't end each line with run. Like, yeah,
he's
just
really good
in there. It's in each line and it's just fantastic. It's an absolute 10 of a record. I think it's phenomenal.
I agree that this record is amazing, but during my run through of his discography, it fell under some records for me. Like,
wow.
Not that this one was disappointing, but some other ones impressed me. And I was like, wow, I really, really like that. It says nothing about the quality of this record, but it did fall in my rankings a hair. But there is a definitive, I think, point in Boldy's discography, and there is many above this point. Mm. And I don't mean like time wise. I just mean in my rankings where like amazing, 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 amazing. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Like there's good. A couple.
it's still a great record. Like when you get down to it, but it's not phenomenal. Like we're used to him being.
And I had to like separate Manger from my thoughts when listening to other Boldy records. I was like, I cannot compare anything to that record.
Yeah, that, yeah, yep, I know. All right, well, that's my first pick. Your second pick.
That is what I thought you were going to be. Now's where it gets interesting, because I don't think either of us know where we're going here.
I have no clue where you're about to head, and I'm not 100% sure where I'm about to go after this.
I think I know two that you want.
Okay.
But depending on where they're
about to take one.
I don't think so. I don't think this is one that was on your short list, if you will.
My ranking has changed as well going through these.
Okay. Then maybe this one was, because I recall when this one initially came out, somebody wasn't super hype on it. They thought it was good, but they weren't super hype on it.
I know what one you're going with, or I have an idea.
So I'm taking Bo Jackson.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
So we have Boldy back with The Alchemist after a few projects away. And if I'm being honest, the hype for me for this record before it came out was so real. I was like, Boldy's back with The Alchemist. I was already loving Boldy. I was already in my Alchemist stage phase, which I'm still in. I'll never get out of that.
Yeah.
And I was just stoked on it. I was like, here we go. Let's go. I loved the rollout of it. I loved the promotion Alchemist was doing on it. And this shit delivers to me. I'm not saying Boldy ever phones it in and gives anything lackluster, but Al really seems to bring the best out of him. Like, I don't know if they're in the studio and Boldy lays down a verse and Al's like, oh, lay that out again. I think you got more. Like, maybe that happens. Maybe not. Who knows?
I feel like it doesn't.
I feel like Boldy's a one take guy, but I can't. I have no
feel
idea.
Kind of the same way.
But the opener alone, Double Hockey Sticks, is not only a great tone setter, but an excellent statement piece for this project. Like, it just right away, you're like, boom, here we are. We're in it. Comparing himself to Bo Jackson is also an amazing theme. Like, the two sport athlete, and I'm the master of both selling drugs and rapping. So rapping, I'm the Bo Jackson of this shit.
Yeah.
I love that. Speaking of people making Boldy rise to an occasion, Brick Mile to Montana, when Benny's on there, anytime Benny's on a Boldy track, Boldy picks it up a little bit. Like, he's not necessarily standing up. He's still in the chair. But you know how, like, you know when you're playing a video game and like you lean forward to lock in?
right.
That's what Boldy does.
The serious part.
That's what Boldy does when Benny shows up on a track. He leans forward. He's like, all right, he's not going to stand up. He's still sitting down.
Right. Yeah, no.
But he's going to lean forward. EPMD, standing for Everybody Plotting My Demise, is one of the hardest things I've ever heard in my life. One of the hardest things I've ever heard in my life. Steel Wool is one of my favorite Boldy tracks, period. Like, ever.
Oh,
you can. Okay. You take his whole discography. And I love Steel Wool. I love it.
It's definitely a highlight on this record for me.
Not Cut From My Cloth because I'm Steel Wool. Come on now. That is incredible. Rock Marcy and Earl Sweatshirt featuring on the same track is such an Alchemist thing. And it works so well on here.
It's so weird.
It works so well on here. Oh, that's on Photographic Memories, by the way.
Yep.
We have Stove God stealing another song because it's... It's all he knows how to do. If you get Stove God on a track, it's going to be his track. It doesn't matter who's
You have to give up. You have to give it up.
On Diamond Dallas. Drop a record, Stove God. Let's fucking go.
No, for real.
Currency and Freddie on the same track, Fake Flowers, is such an unthinkable collab.
Yeah, it's weird.
But it's also like, if you took three dudes on a spectrum of rapping, they're kind of, this is the three dudes. Like, Boldy is so far this way, relaxed and like just delivering. Currency's kind of right in the middle, where he's relaxed but he's going after it. And then Freddie, where he's not relaxed and he is going after it.
Yeah,
so we have three dudes going after it, but all at different paces, it seems. And I think it works great. Alchemist again delivering.
Yeah,
fantastic track, incredible project. I love Bo Jackson.
Yeah, it's a super good project.
Did this one pick up for you? Because when it came out, you weren't super stoked. I don't know what happened. Maybe you weren't in the mood or something.
You know what? I think it was because we had gotten four projects in 2020.
Yeah, that's true.
And then this one came out later in the year in 2021. And I was just like, how much more can Boldy do?
Yeah.
And then he put out another record in 2021 as well. But yeah, I think I was just on overload.
Okay.
Because I was still taking in Price of Tea in China and Main Draw McNichols and the two other projects that I'm sure we'll touch shortly. But yeah, I think I was just on overload. But taking the time to go back and listen to everything all over again, yeah, it definitely picked up for me.
I'm glad. Because I also know there was like two opportunities for you to snag this on vinyl. And I'm going to say when I sent you those links, you may not even have responded to one of them. Like, it wasn't even a non-good. It was just a, all right, I saw it.
Yeah, it might have been. I don't know. Now I wish I had picked it up. See? Dropping the ball.
All right, Scott. So what is your second pick? Boldy James, discography draft.
Man, I'm struggling because there's definitely one I need, but I don't know if you'll pick it. And then there's one that I think you're about to pick if I don't, and I kind of want it.
Okay.
But I think I'm going to just go with my gut and pick Fair Exchange, No Robbery with Nicholas Craven.
That is exactly what I thought was going to be your next pick, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. I absolutely loved it when it came out. I'm pretty sure. Were we waiting on it? Did we know about it?
I don't know. Because half the Boldy we know about and the other half, they surprise us. So who knows?
Yeah, I can't remember. But I know when it came out, we listened to it and I was blown away by Nicholas Craven's productions. Half of these songs don't have beats. Half of these songs are like flute instrumentals and woodwinds. Mm-hmm. There's no beat. Mm-hmm. And it is amazing. First off, the cover art I absolutely love. I think it's fantastic. That little illustration, it looks like a winter scene in the woods. And what I get from the music kind of sets up that scene for me. Like I said, the flutes and woodwinds, I'm there in that forest with the cabin and in a red one-piece jumpsuit snowsuit thing.
Like in my head, the cover, I agree with you, the cover works perfectly on this thing.
Yeah.
I picture like this, it's the snowed in like rural barnhouse type thing. And Boldy is in front of a fire with his feet kicked up. And and that's just the record. Like he is,
right.
Like you said, there's not like actual beats on here. So it is very mellow. It's very, it's maybe it's one so of his chill. Most laid back projects. It might be one of his most laid back projects.
Yeah.
And he's always smooth. But then in this one, how I said, when Benny comes on, he's leaning forward. In this one, he has the, like the footrest up. It's reclined.
Oh, he's in the Lazy Boy. Yeah. He's in the Lazy Boy all the way back in front of a roaring fireplace with a grandkid on his lap. Telling stories about back in the day.
He's almost asleep. And it's weird that you can say, no, guys, this record is great because he's almost sleeping. Like, that feels weird to say.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like it. Like, he's not mumbling and no. Like, he's very articulate. You can definitely tell what he's saying. It's just the vibe. It's the vibe that he sets on this record. And it's amazing.
This is actually one that didn't hit me the way I thought it would initially. If you recall, I loved Six Toes. I thought Six Toes is incredible.
Yep, it's such a great track.
I love counting, I think, in songs. Like, and then when you do it in a way where it's interesting and fresh and it's not just actually counting, I loved it.
Yeah.
On the opener, Straight and Tall, he raps 8-Ball with 8-Ball like 4 times. And it works.
Yeah, it works. It doesn't bother me at all.
And it's also not like he's not talking about he's talking about like 8-Ball the musician. And he's talking about an 8-Ball of Coke. And he's talking about 8-Ball of Pole. Like, he's a master of that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also, I guess I need to formally thank Boldy for introducing me to Nicholas Craven through this. Because...
Oh, for sure.
You're right. His production is amazing.
Yeah.
Because I've listened to some other things Craven did and it's very similar. And I wonder if like Craven did an interview, if he would say Alchemist is a influence, because he influence? Has to be, right?
He has to be. I mean, they're so similar.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a bit different. Like I said, this one definitely focuses more on wind instruments, whereas mm-hmm. Alchemist kind of is more orchestral, I guess. But yeah, definitely, Alchemist has to be a huge influence on Nicholas Craven.
Yeah, this is more like, this is more of like a concerto versus the orchestra. Like, Nicholas Craven is the concerto, sure. and then Alchemist is the full orchestra.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not demeaning Nicholas Craven.
No, not at all. The track Designer Drugs is fantastic. Power Nap to close the record is amazing. It's amazing. I absolutely love this record. I know when the pre-order came up for this one, I'm pretty sure we both jumped all over it.
I own every Boldy record except for Versace Tape.
Yeah, I don't. But I do own this one.
But you also got lucky because I dove on even the foreign import pre-orders, whereas you waited and you got Real Bad Boldy for like $20 and I paid yeah. 60 for it or something like that.
Right. Yes. Yep. Yeah, that definitely happened. I definitely have a price limit when mm-hmm. it comes to pre-ordering stuff. And I know that when it's overseas stuff, I'm usually on the wait list for to see if there's more domestic
I have
chances.
I have a current like German import right now lost in the mail.
Oh no.
By the way, it's a Denmark company, but it's like it had to go through German post.
Oh yeah.
And then I emailed the Denmark company. I think it's Denmark. Mm-hmm. Copenhagen's in Denmark, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Or is it Norway?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it's Denmark. But I emailed them and I got a message back that says, "We're closed for the winter months."
What?
Because they can fucking do that over there.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, we'll be wow. back in like late February. And I'm like, oh my God, this is incredible. But also, I just need help.
Right. Please tell me where my record is.
It says it was like attempted at a delivery like 12 days ago and then no updates since then.
Did they try to deliver to your old spot?
They did, but I have shit forwarded from there, so it should come right. here. But they also don't link me to, you know how normally when you get an import, I mean, I don't know how many imports you get, but
I don't.
When you normally get an import, you get the link for like the, in this case, the German Post, the Deutsche mm-hmm. Post. And then yeah. at a certain point when they hand it off to the USPS, you'll get an email with a number that they have. I never got an email for that. But the Deutsche Post keeps updating me on the thing. So I don't know what's going on.
Oh, man. Brutal.
I'm going to guess maybe they never gave it to the post office and maybe DHL is running it because DHL is an international freight service.
Maybe. Oh.
But I don't have a DHL link, so I
don't have anything. Oh, God. Terrible.
Just on Fair Exchange No Robbery real quick, the wordplay on Scrabble, I fucking love. I love yeah. Scrabble. Yep. Dodging the alphabet boys like a game of Scrabble.
Oh, man. Awesome. Loved it. I fucking yeah.
love it. I love that project, yep. and I knew you were getting it because I knew you loved it.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I remember when it came out, I was at work, and I think I was messaging you like every song. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I can't believe this. This is amazing. Yes. Like, how does Nicholas Craven do this without a beat? Like, there's no fucking beat, but it just mm-hmm. works so well. Yeah, I absolutely love it. It's such a good project.
So,
yeah,
for my next pick.
Sure.
My third pick, Boldy James, Discography Draft. And if you want to talk about records that rose in my ranking, this one rose higher. This one gained more traction and more spots than any other record in this dude's discography.
Okay.
And I even just listened to this like 2 months ago. 3 months ago,
okay.
and right. I must not have been listening to it with the same ear, because this time around, holy hell.
Oh.
Might surprise you here, Scott.
Okay.
My First Chemistry Set.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think that this is a crazy debut studio record. It's insane.
Oh, it's wild.
How yeah. good it is.
Yep.
Moochie is crazy good, and then like the line "I nickname everything," and then running through all the nicknames of things is such a Boldy move.
I love it. Yeah,
it's so good. Boldy already sounds like Boldy, but he's a little less laid back. Like it doesn't. It sounds like he's maybe on a stool versus a chair. Like he's okay. He's more upright. he's. It's not quite the laid back that we get the next time he meets Alchemist, which is Presti in China. It's closer to kind of the hip hop of the time versus when Boldy Now, when you listen to it, it's not, oh, this is just another hip hop record. It's no, this is Boldy James.
This is more of a boom bap kind of Alchemist production than where, like we said, we think Alchemist changed up his style quite a bit.
It was definitely changing. Price. It was changing in between here, like before Price of Tea in China. But I think once he got with Boldy again, it was like, oh, I can just do this.
Yeah.
The Action Bronson feature is always welcome to me.
Man, that's such a great track. I've never listened to an Action Bronson project, I don't think. His feature on this is fantastic.
Him and Boldy trade bars. You know how much I love when rappers are trading bars. It kind of means to me that they might be in the same studio.
Yep. I agree. Yes. Like they are in the same room going back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. Like that's what it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah. That's on Traction with Action Bronson. The Alchemist production here, it's also not only is it good because he's always good, but it's really interesting because his beats are a little busier. Like instead of having that empty space and using that space to craft other things, there's sounds and things everywhere. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe he stripped himself down and was like, no, I am doing too much. But also, he was producing at a time when the busier the beat, the better. Like when he came up, it was the busy beats are what people wanted. So I like that he was able to evolve through that. But it sounds like a hungrier Boldy on here. Because now Boldy, he's well fed. Like we don't hear the hungry Boldy often.
Right.
And another solid Vince Staples feature on here, by the way. It feels like an early Vince Staples feature.
It feels really early for Vince. Yeah. But yeah, Vince on Give Me a Reason. Fantastic.
Just a very solid, great record. I'm astonished. I have to go try to find this on vinyl. I don't even know if it's pressed. It has to.
I have no idea.
I need this record now on vinyl. I love My First Chemistry Set.
Yeah, it's super good.
So Scott, what do you got?
Oh man. I've been like on my heels this entire friggin' draft because I don't know where I'm going half the time, but then I just go back to following my heart. But it seems wrong.
This is one of the first ones that I ever actually like ranked them, and I'm sticking to my rankings.
Are you? Okay. Descendants, I think I did that.
As I was listening, I would finish a project and I would look at my rankings and be like, yep, this squeezes right in there, right in between those two.
Well, it's more difficult for me because there were some projects that I was like we said with Bo Jackson, I think I was just kind of there was too much Boldy going on and I kind of let it slide. But taking this listen through his discography again this last week, so many more things moved up in ranking for me that you haven't taken that it's hard for me. It's hard. I don't know. All right, fine. I'm following my heart. I'm going with Penalty of Leadership.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
That's another awesome. Nicholas Craven project. I absolutely love it. It came out in January this year. This is the one where Boldy came out of the hospital 5 days later and just went to the studio and started fucking laying down tracks. There's one feature on the whole record, Double D.
Couldn't tell you.
Whoever that is. Don't know. But man, Murderous Tendencies, that track is phenomenal. I don't know what to say about this one. It's another Nicholas Craven project, of course. So the production is a little out there, like not normal. Definitely in more of my kind of jazzy open air style of production than, you know, most people's rap preference. But I just love the idea more so of him coming out of the hospital and laying down these tracks in his studio being like, I'm in a fucking neck brace, but this is what's on my mind.
Yeah. And I mean, there are two or three tracks in here where he mentions it. One of them actually has like the news report of his accident on it.
Yeah.
I think it's brand new Chanel Kicks. And that is
so
hard. That's a special track. New Chanel Kicks. Yeah. Brand new Chanel Kicks is a special track. I will agree with you. Back with Nicholas Craven, again, there was hype for me on this. The same way I had hype for Bo Jackson, I was like, oh, back with Nicholas Craven. Let's go, man. Let's go.
Yeah. That's how I was too, because how I felt about Fair Exchange No Robbery.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love that record. And then when we found out Nicholas Craven was doing this one too, I was like, oh shit, I'm fucking on board. Let's go.
Yes. I think Nicholas Craven is second only to Alchemist when it comes to matching Boldy's vibe. Like and Boldy works with a lot of producers that do it well.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, is Boldy that, like, does he just give off this such a vibe that no matter who he's in the studio with, they can match it? Because most of the producers he works with match it perfectly.
Right.
One of those lines that any other rapper says sounds corny on this record, on Jack Frost, Big Mac will turn your brain into Mac sauce. Anybody else says that line. And it sounds so corny. But Boldy saying it, it's like, Oh, all right, man. All right, sorry.
We're in for it. We're in.
Beautiful production work and samples all over this thing.
Yeah.
On No Pun Intended, Boldy has a line that may be directed to me and only me because it's all of my interest wrapped up into one line. Who got more ammo than the Sopranos? I feel like Thanos. Holy shit.
I do love that. Yeah.
Holy shit. Like, that is for me alone.
Yeah.
Thank you, Boldy. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
the whole car accident bars, they're all good.
They're so good.
The line on Brand New Chanel Kicks where he says, couldn't move my toes, now I'm back standing on business. Holy fuck.
Well, yeah.
That is one of the hardest bars of all time. I have a broken neck. I couldn't move my toes, and now I'm back standing on business.
Yeah. Wow.
That soon after the car accident, you could put that out a year after your car accident and it would still be hard. Five days. Insane.
Yeah. Wild.
Absolutely insane. Yeah. It's a great project. I haven't spent enough time with it for it to raise up my rankings as much as it did yours. I'm a big fan and I can't wait to get the vinyl.
I know it shot up there, especially like when the pre-order came out, I was like, okay, I remember liking it. When we first heard it January, like the second week of January, and then the pre-order came up and we were both like, oh yeah, well, we got to get on it. You especially, you were like, I own every other Boldy record.
That's where I'm at this point now.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what he puts out. You're on it.
Mm-hmm.
But going back and listening to it and being like, I have this coming. Like it's on its way to me and I'm so stoked. Like I can't wait for it to show up. It's so good. Yeah, I've absolutely loved it.
I have two more. By the way, whatever's left of his discography, we'll do two lightning rounds where we just mention them. You know,
sure.
We don't have to dig into them. But
man, I am.
I have two left that I feel like I need. They're at the top of my list.
All right.
I think one. I don't think you're going to take one of them at all. So I can wait on that one.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but that's just what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take Killing Nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's another one that rose up the ranking for me.
It's the second Real Bad Man produced Boldy record.
Yep.
And when a producer and Boldy click, man, they click. Like, they know each other in and out. And I also like the loyalty that it seems Boldy has to producers.
For real, yeah.
Where he's like, oh, we did a good record. Yeah, let's run it back. Like,
let's do another one. Yeah,
I think that is special because you don't see that a lot, because now it's always about, oh, how do I get better than that? It's like, no.
Right.
That was great. Do it again.
Yeah.
Water Under the Bridge, the opener, is once again a killer track that grabs your attention, pulls you right in. Real Bad Man's production on this seems a bit darker than Real Bad Boldy. It's
Real
much
Bad Boldy,
darker,
yeah.
A little more sinister sounds here and there, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Game Time is excellent. A very surprising Crime Apple feature on Medellin, and I am a Crime Apple fan.
It's another instance where I don't know who that artist is until I hear them with Boldy, and I'm like, they are not bad.
if I had the resources, I guess should be the word, because other than Currency, I'm not sure of anybody who drops projects quite like Crime Apple does. I mean, he puts out so many projects.
Wow.
if I had the funds, and I think a lot of his records are imports, and I can't be buying 15. I can't be buying 15 imports a year. I can't do it. Of one guy, right. I can't do it.
Right. Right.
But I listen every time he puts out a project. I listen to a new Crime Apple project every single time. It's like Boldy. Mm. If Boldy's putting out a project, I'm going to listen to it. If Crime Apple's putting out a project, I'm going to listen to it. It's just how it works.
Yeah.
So I like that. Good track. Cash Transactions with Knowledge the Pirate is great. Knowledge the Pirate, another great rapper that Real Bad Man got involved. Good shit there.
Yeah.
Open Door makes me want more. It makes me want more Griselda V version 2 tracks. Like, you know how on every Griselda project, it would be Benny Westside and
Conway. Right. Like, on give me one, the, we have the B-listers.
Yeah.
Not saying that they're B-listers, but yeah, like, yeah, yeah. But yeah, Rome Streets and Stove God and Boldy. Give me more of those tracks.
Give me more of the, like, the Griselda tracks. Like, you would expect that on a Griselda project. Like, oh, there's, which one's the Griselda track? Because they're all going to be on one of them.
Yep.
Give me more of those. You personally have to love the song Ain't No Bon Jovi.
I love it.
Because you hate Bon Jovi. Somehow on this one, Boldy feels more laid back and comfortable. Like, he's just so comfortable wherever he's rapping. It's unreal. It's not just he's laid back. He is laid back and comfortable.
Right.
It's like he's the oldest man in the mafia telling his stories at dinner. It's magical.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Like, it's magical. This project is capital P phenomenal. I love this project.
Yeah, there you go. I was actually between Penalty of Leadership and Killing Nothing as my last picks. Killing Nothing really rose up in my ranking a lot. It's so good. And another one, for some reason, I just wasn't on board at the time as much as I should have been. But over this last week, I really ended up loving this record. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's man, it's up there. It's
super good.
So, Scott, for your fourth pick of the Boldy James draft.
Man, I feel like there's one I want to take, and then there's one I should take. All right, we're gonna go. I'm gonna play off your fourth pick, and I'm gonna go with Real Bad Boldy.
Yeah. It's great.
It's so good. It's the first time I had ever heard of Real Bad Man. I absolutely love the cover art on Real Bad Boldy and Killing Nothing, like the white background with just kind of random like illustration on it.
If you ever look up any real, like, that's every Real Bad Man record has that same exact cover design.
Oh, okay. I think,
like,
it's
no matter who he's with. They are, like, I saw somebody on Instagram had like six or seven of his records all put up on like a shelf beside each other, and it's all that, and it looks fucking incredible.
Yeah, I absolutely love Light Bill with featuring Mayhem Loren, and Thousand Pills with Stove God. I needed a God feature in my draft, but so good. And yeah, like I said, first time I ever heard anything from Real Bad Man, and boy, did it surprise me. Especially coming off of what we had gotten previously in 2020, as far as production goes with Boldy projects. Like, we're coming off of The Alchemist, Price of D in China. We're coming off Sterling Tolles on Major and McNichols, Versace tapes, maybe we'll talk about. But then Real Bad Man production on Real Bad Boldy was something completely different, I felt like. And it just hit me.
In juxtaposition to Killing Nothing, how I mentioned it was darker, this one is very bright. Like, he puts very bright sounds and very uplifting sounds in there. But I mean, it's still the very sample, like, noise based production that we get from your Alchemists and your Nicholas Cravens. But he does it in his own way, and I appreciate it.
Yep.
Also, Boldy can deliver on any beat, so it doesn't really matter.
Anything. Yeah. I want to hear him on one of those old baby xylophone toys. Put him on a track with one of those. I think he'd kill it. I want to hear Boldy on kids' toys. That's what I want.
Well, I mean, make it happen, right?
I need to come up with some beats.
Street Shit is unreal.
Oh, yeah.
And if it wasn't surrounded by almost equally as good tracks, it would be a huge standout. But all these tracks are so solid, it's hard to even pick one out.
Mm-hmm.
Boldy at some point on this record says, "They ask me where my verses come from. My scale wrote it." Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
An insane bar. An insane bar from Boldy. And it sums up Boldy so well. I love this shit. Coke rap forever.
Yeah. It's so good. I absolutely love it.
So for my final pick that we're digging into. Because we're going to we'll do a quick lightning round if we have to, some other stuff. But for my final pick, and there may be no one more surprised by this than me, because it did nothing for me when it came out, kind of. And now
it
is my top five. It is in my top five. Well, no, some years are in there, so I guess I can't say
Right.
From what I got here, it's my top five. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Indiana Jones.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And much like how I took, if you recall, and the crossover audience, they'll remember this. I took Percolator in the All Draft because it's interesting.
Yeah.
This record, upon my revisit, it's so interesting because even off the beginning of this album, it feels like there's something off. It feels like there's something weird about the production.
Yeah.
Like there's some elements that maybe feel added after the fact or something like that. I don't know. The levels might feel a little off. I don't know. But the first thing grabs me. Boldy drops an Isham reference. I'm in. I'm in right there.
Yeah.
It's in. He drops it in Dirt and Dopey, and that speaks to me. We eventually get some drums on Wrong Side of Town, and I realize that it's Rich Gaines maybe attempting Alchemist shit. And he's not quite there yet. Like there's a he's trying to do it and he's not there yet. But because once we get this more of a backbone of the drums, I can lock in a little better. So then Rich Gaines' production sounds much more on level with the features than it does Boldy. And I'm not saying Boldy isn't killing it, but I'm saying the guys on these features are more Rich Gaines is more attuned to them than he is Boldy.
Sure.
Boldy drops into a pocket on Hunt at Sales, and it's magical, and I'd like to hear more of that. It's not the Boldy vibe I'm used to, but I'm sinking into it. No Extender is excellent. This production, it took me a while to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a laid-back modern trap beat than it is boom-back. And then once I understood that, I went back and revisited. I was like, no, yeah, this is a trap producer, and this is fucking awesome. So like you said, you want to hear Boldy on other things. Hearing Boldy on this, I was like, yeah, this shit is interesting. I fucking like this. I'm locked in. Once I got it, I got it. Because if you recall, neither of us really gave a shit at the beginning.
I still kind of don't. And like, this is probably my least favorite Boldy project.
Okay.
It did raise up a bit after listening to it again, but it feels like, to me, it feels like Boldy is even more laid back than normal on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like you kind of said, the production feels kind of off. So it, I don't know. It still doesn't hit for me.
To me, it felt off because it wasn't the sample heavy boom bap Alchemist, Nicholas Craven, Real Bad Man. And then once I locked in on it, I was like, oh, this is just it's kind of a melding of the boom bap instrumentation that we're getting from those artists and like the kind of trap beats, and man, do I love it. I think it's absolute. Like the fact that Boldy was like, yeah, let's do this. I think Boldy knows that he can do anything.
Sure.
And I was never going to own this on vinyl, but then it hit a point where I had every other one. I was like, oh, I'll buy it. And I'm very proud. I'm very proud to have this. The length is a bit much on this one because it is his longest record. It's without a doubt his longest record. It's for over an hour, I believe. And most of his other records maybe break half hour. Maybe most of them.
Maybe. Yeah.
But yeah, Indiana Jones rose up so high for me that I am astonished at how many spots it overtook and the records like pass up records that I know I love. So I was like, you know what? I gotta take it.
It definitely surprised that was a surprising choice on your behalf.
That's what I said. When I said I had two left and I know you're not taking one, I knew you weren't taking Indiana Jones.
Nope. Sure wasn't. Now I'm confused as to what I'm going to pick.
Your final pick. Yeah. Before we lightning round the rest.
I'll go with Mr. 1008.
Okay.
I loved it when it came out, even though, yeah, it came out like 2 months after Fair Exchange. It felt like it came out like the next week, but I still absolutely loved it. Yeah, got the vinyl. I mean, it's Future Wave produced, definitely less of an airy feeling to it, but I still absolutely love it. Yeah, I don't really have too much to say about it. I love the opener, The Whole Hundro. I love how it dumps you into it. It's a good record. That's a real good record.
Another producer that I was unfamiliar with until Boldy introduced me, Future Wave, like you said.
Yeah.
And Whole Hundro, great opener. The saxophone horn on Mortimer Milestone is incredible and gives me a little bit of Manger flashbacks here and there because it's
a little bit, yeah.
That horn is excellent on there. Future Wave makes everything feel like a futuristic crime drama. Like he's putting in like kind of these, it feels like an old school crime drama where there's a detective in a black and white room, but then he's adding like these sounds that feel futuristic and his production matches his name. Like that's a great name for him. Future Wave.
Right.
It's excellent.
Yeah. It's one of those like different sounds that I like to hear Boldy doing. It's kind of more out there as far as producers that I hear him being like right on with. It just surprised me.
Yeah, futuristic Future Wave's production is much more atmospheric. Like there's much more of a sense of something happening versus I'm playing you what's happening. Like you're like you have to like almost put it together yourself. And then that's very forward on what is probably my favorite track, Disco Fever, is excellent on this. But Flag on the Play gives it a run for its money because Flag on the Play is fucking excellent also. It's great project. Mr. 1008 is also a great project.
Super.
I'm not going to argue with any of those picks. All right. So what? There's technically four left if we want to throw Versace Tape in as project. So I guess I'll just stick to my rankings here. If I'm being honest, the last three or four that are there, I feel like it's the underside of his discography. Like for me, like that's just, they're still good. I'm not going to pass up listening to them, but so I'll just take Super Tecmo Bo. It kind of just feels like B-sides of Bo Jackson and it's okay.
Yeah. I'd go with Be That As It May.
Okay.
It's Cuns on production.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. 2.2 pounds is a great track. Day Dates and Daytona's good. I like it. It's just not as high as other projects on my rankings, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that we're even taking these means we still love these. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
other
discographies, we're like, yeah, we're good. We're shutting down, but we're taking these.
Yeah. No, I take
although
that.
That may be your last pick because I'm leaving you with Versace Tape because I'm going to take Prisoner of Circumstance. And I think the major flaw in Prisoner of Circumstance is how short it is compared to the project previous, which is Indiana Jones. So you go from over an hour to like 22 minutes, 23 minutes.
Super short.
Like it's a little tough. It's a little tough. That difference there, but still like it. I'll listen to 1,000 of these projects. I don't care. Boldy can keep putting shit out.
For sure.
So do you want to skip Versace Tape or do you want to take it?
Oh no, I'm going to take the one we haven't heard yet. I'm going to go with 1 pound.
Okay. Take the one we haven't heard yet. All right.
Yeah. The one that's physical only that hasn't been shipped yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's going to be better than Versace Tapes, even though half of it's going to be instrumental.
Yeah. Every time I listen to Versace Tape, I listen to it. And as soon as I'm done, I'm like, you know what? I should revisit this in like a month. and then it's like 6 months down the road. And I'm like, haven't revisited that. And the J Versace production is just so different. And so I don't know. It's a completely different, and we want to hear Boldy on different things, but it's just, there's something about it.
Not that one. Yeah.
The production almost feels like it keeps you at arm length. And I do think that's interesting, but I don't think it's interesting enough to keep me invested.
Maybe
I'll revisit and love it in a year. I can never doubt that. You know, it's like science. We learn new things and we make new assumptions.
Which it's sad because that's the one Griselda project that we were talking about. It's the one Griselda project and we're both kind of like, Eh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd still like to own it. It's the one I don't own, but
yeah.
All right. So to wrap up this draft, I had the first pick, Scott. Mm-hmm. I took Majoran McNichols, Bo Jackson, my first chemistry set, Killing Nothing, and Indiana Jones. What a crazy set for me.
Wow. Yeah.
You had the second pick. You took The Price of Tea in China, Fair Exchange, No Robbery, Penalty of Leadership, Real Bad Boldy, and Mr. 1008. Wow. What a solid run for you too. Good shit there.
That's that. Like if we're talking about like Boldy for me, that's pretty dead on.
Mm-hmm.
That like giving up Majoran McNichols was a big deal, but the rest of that's Boldy for Scott.
And I am all over the Boldy map with what I got.
Yeah.
All right. So Scott, this wasn't the only thing you were listening to though. What's your record of the week?
My record of the week. It's one that came out this year. It's newer. It's Usher, Coming Home.
It's too long though.
It is super long. I agree, but we both agreed it was interesting and enjoyable.
It's absolutely enjoyable, without a doubt. It's absolutely, they're good. They're good R&B pop songs. They're good.
Yeah.
It is just way too long.
That good, good track. I've never liked a 21 feature as much as I do on that track. For some reason, it just works.
Crazy. That's an insane take that your favorite 21 feature is on an Usher track. That's an insane take.
But no, it's really good. And then what was that song about McDonald's? Like he never ordered the small.
Oh yeah, man. Usher God, that is was Usher
wild.
When I'm listening to it, I'm just like, nobody could ever listen to this in the car with their significant other. Cause like half the songs are about cheating and then the other half are about how much I love you and I'm sorry. Like it's an insane thing that Usher does. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. Absolutely nuts. But yeah, I liked it. Yeah.
It is a good record.
It surprised me. It surprised me.
My record is a 20-year record that surprised me because I never remember disliking it, but I remember liking the hit.
Okay.
Maybe hits. I don't know. It's Incubus's Crow Left of the Murder.
Oh, I love that record so much.
I, as you know, my favorite Incubus record is Light Grenades.
Yeah.
I loved Megalomaniac, but I just was like, okay, you know, it's whatever, it's fine. And then on the revisit for the 20-year, when we listened to it for the 20-year records, I love that record. I think it's excellent.
Yeah, it's so good.
Whereas before I wouldn't even have bought it on vinyl. Now I'm actively, I think, maybe going to grab it. I think I'm going to snag it at some point because it's really good. And I matured as a listener because before it was a hit. That's all I wanted. Like, give me that hit and that's all I need. But I like that whole record. I was a fan of that whole record.
It's so good.
Well, Scott, all that's left is for you to tell me what we're listening to next week.
Well, next week, it's St. Paddy's Day. So, I'm going to give you The Pogues, If I Should Irish. Fall from Grace with God.
And he just passed recently, right?
Shane McGowan passed, last year. Like late last year.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah, I only know that you told me they're Irish. That's about all I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll deal with that. Next week, The Pogues.
Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah,
big crossover from Boldy James to the Pogues, without a doubt.
If anything, I know our audience.
And didn't we come out a ringworm to Boldy James?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. We really know how to keep an audience here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
All right. Well, follow us on Twitter or X at AYLPod. Follow us on Instagram at AYLPod. Join the Facebook group. Link will be in the show notes. Shoot us an email at areyoulistening.pod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Scott, thank you for the podcast. Thank you for the episode. Thank you for the friendship.
Thank you, brother. Had fun.
Thank you, Boldy James, for the music.
Oh, yeah. And the plethora of producers.
Yeah. Producer draft coming soon.
Oh, jeez.
Listeners, thank you for listening.
Always.
Listen to something new. Listen to something you love.
Homework.
Are you listening?
Are you listening? I want to hear Boldy on kids' toys. That's what I want.
I mean, if we're drafting Boldy, I had to bring the cutter.
That's Boldy for Scott.
I love this shit. Coke rap forever.